So this morning we're doing part three of In the Beginning, Jesus. The first time we looked at In the Beginning, Jesus our hope. And we looked at the perfection of everything that took place in the Garden of Eden, which became perverted at the fall. And then we saw the promise of hope given in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. Then last week he looked at the Tower of Babel, or the City of Babel, the ambition of that, trying to make a name for themselves, and how Jesus, our mediator, intervenes. And unfortunately, that Tower of Babel mentality still pervades our society today, and we have to move past that and know that Jesus is our mediator. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10, He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us, on whom we have set our hope, that He will deliver us again. Now this is Paul writing, and he's talking about all the trials and tribulations and the problems that they've been through. And so we understand that. But Paul is emphatic that Jesus will deliver him. And so we want to look at the New Testament, Old Testament today, and we want to look at Jesus, our deliverer. So let go with me to Exodus chapter 6. And while you're turning there, we need to get a little bit of a background for the story. We looked at a little bit of heritage last week, and we get down to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob have 12 sons. Of the 12, the one was Joseph. And Joseph was one of the patriarchs, and what they had a famine in Egypt, and he was the instrument to bring his family from where they were into Egypt. And they lived there, and they started to live there, and Joseph had favor under Pharaoh. But then, of course, like all good men, that Pharaoh died and a new Pharaoh rose up, and they decided to enslave the Hebrews of the time and to work with the Hebrews. And we see 430 years later, they're still in slavery and they're still mourning. And then we have this guy called Moses come out of the bulrushes, and God calls him and says to him, I am that I am. Because he doesn't know what that really means. But then he says to him, you go back and deliver my people and take my people out. So Moses is a type of Jesus, but Jesus is our deliverer. And the people were oppressed there, and they were in bondage, and they needed rescuing. And sometimes today we are still in Egypt, and we are oppressed and depressed and suppressed and oppressed, and we are in bondage, and we need delivery from that. But they, when you see that Jesus, their deliverer, that rescued us by the blood of the Lamb. But if we go to Exodus chapter 6, and just for time's sake, verse 3, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. I appeared to them as El Shaddai. I appeared to them as the sustainer and the provider. But by my name, the Lord, interestingly, I did not make myself known to them. What that means, by the name the Lord, the promise keeper, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan and the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I've heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. So therefore, to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I am the promise keeper. And I will, and there are six I wills that God delivers here. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great act of judgment, and I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you up out from under the burden of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession, because I am the Lord. I am the promise keeper. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is the promise keeper. And the six I ams He gives us, He promises there. He will give them freedom. He will deliver them. He will give them He will take them as possession for His own. He will give us them an identity. He will give ownership over them. And there is an inheritance for them. And there is an inheritance for us today. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Mark. I'm excited about that sermon. I'm excited. Lay hands on myself. Wow. They were delivered from Exodus and they entered a promise. And we're going to talk in a week or two's time about our inheritance. Because we are taken out of Exodus and we were taken into reality and we are taken into our land of Canaan. They were taken out of bondage and slavery. And while I'm preaching, if you can just see, it's the big metaphor of them and us. They're in Egypt, we're in Egypt. They got set free and delivered out of Egypt and they're brought into freedom. We've been brought into freedom and set free. Okay? So this morning, what I want us to look at, what are we being delivered from? How are we being delivered? And who is our deliverer? And in some previous sermon, I can't remember when, I used this little map, and I don't know how well you can see it. Over there is Egypt and the plague, and then they were taken out through the Red Sea, and they were baptized in the Red Sea into the community of God, through into the cloud, the Spirit of God, and through the sea into new life. And you can go and read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then they were taken to Mount Sinai where the law was given to a free people because they've been baptized through the Red Sea. They had their exodus, their movement, they're taken out. And they were given, free people were given the law to live. And then they moved up to Kadesh Barnea, and then we know the whole problem that happened at Kadesh Barnea when Moses went up the mountain and when they was there and they were building golden calves and they had fun. And the Lord came down and said, you're not ready to go in. And then he spent, because this has taken about 38 years, another 22 years. So they spent 30 years doing a little circle up to Mount Nebo into the promised land. Okay, just a little bit of graphics because we figured out people learn differently. So what are we being delivered from? We're being delivered from bondage. And sometimes we don't even know we're in bondage because we're living such a great life. Because everything seems to work for us. And I've got enough money and I've got a nice house and I've got a nice car and my life is good and I have a great job. But if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in bondage. We are bondage to a belief system that defines our worth, our importance, our identity, our dignity by what and who you know and what you can achieve. And there's nothing wrong with achieving. There's nothing wrong with having money and all that stuff I just said. As long as it's not at the expense of Jesus Christ. Describe Israel under Pharaoh's rule here. And it says, he put slaves and masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, working them ruthlessly and made their lives bitter with hard work. Remember Moses goes along and the first time he says, hey, I am sent me and I've got to get you these people out of here and we've got to do the whole thing. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And he says, well, that's not a possibility. That's not happening. Who do you think you are? And he says, well, I am sent me and so I need to do this. And we've got to look at the... So turn with me over to Exodus chapter 14, please. And we haven't got time to read the whole thing, but if you look in verse 4, I'll just point them out, verse 4, verse 17 and verse 18. You will see the Lord says, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his house. Remember last week we spoke about they wanted to get the glory for themselves. They wanted to build this open gate to God. And then God came down and they called it Babel because he changed their languages and they were confused and dispersed in judgment. And later we see they were confused but dispersed in assignment in Acts chapter 2. Exciting stuff. Yeah. Until we accept Jesus our deliverer, we live under the curse of a slave. And you might not think that, you might not believe that right now in your heart, but until, because there's no luck, there's only team A and team Z. There's no team B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, blah, 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 blah. You're either on team A or you're on team Z. Well, we don't like that, Mark. You're not allowed to say that stuff. Because when we are under bondage, we need to know that we have deliverance. There is deliverance. We can get into team A. Bible is very clear. He took us out of the kingdom of darkness and took us into the kingdom of light. That's right. That's 1 Colossians, I think it is. And when we get there, it says we get to move out of one situation and get hold of another situation, and we can't. I've told you, the old proverbial story in South Africa, the farmers, when they hunt the baboons who come and steal the corn, they get a big gourd and they tie it to the tree. Do you remember the story? And then they fill it with pips, and when the baboon puts his hand in, he can get his hand in, but when he grabs the pips, he can't get it out. And then the farmer comes and says, that's a rifle, by the way. And they shoot him. But if he just let go of this thing, he could be free. But the problem is, we put our hand in here and we hold on here, and now we want to go over here. And we cannot let go. We cannot move into our future until we let go of our past. In Numbers 33:3, it says in the NIV, he says, and they marched out boldly in full view of the Egyptians. The whole story is that they were in front, and they kept going, and these plagues kept coming. And eventually Pharaoh said, let your people go. Okay, go. And they went out, and they remember they gave them all their gold and jewelry and gave them cattle and sheep. But what I love so much about this, they didn't dawdle out. It wasn't like, oh, well, yeah, no, shall we hang around? No, they marched out boldly. I think in some translations it says they marched out defiantly. They wanted to get away from their captors. They wanted to get away from Egypt. They wanted to move into the promised land. But we know how fickle human nature is. What's the problem? I'm so glad you asked. Exodus 5 and 7. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, as if he didn't know, go and read this, he gave the decree. The mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people, and they said, what is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariots and took his army with him, and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of the Egypt with officers all over them. The point is, the slave master wanted them back. And our slave master wants us back. And that's why you say, oh, I feel I'm being attacked. I feel I'm being oppressed. I think I'm so depressed. I think I'm being suppressed. And I'm not making light of that. Please don't go away. Because I understand depression. I've been depressed in my life. I understand it. I've been oppressed in my life. I've been suppressed in my life. So I get all that. I'm talking in a spiritual sense of the word, not a medical sense. And we also need to know that when they were like that, only did the slaves' masters want them back. What have we done? We let our workers go. Because they'd made life difficult for them. They'd made everything so hard for them. And then life was easy. Look at me, God. Look at me, God. Look at me, God. Saved by grace, but to keep God happy with me, I need to do a whole bunch of stuff. You're just going to tire yourself out. Let me just be honest with you. Be free. Get out of the bondage. You're going to get tired. And then you're going to say, this doesn't work. And the enemy's going, another dummy to the pile. When we add one more law, we say, Jesus, you're not enough. Why? Because he fulfilled the law. All of it. Every single bit of it. He was born under the law. He grew up learning the law. Really? Yeah, he was Jewish. I've got to move on. The bondage to the law is an experience. Galatians is a perfect example. Freedom and liberty. And then the Judaizers came in behind Paul and said, whisper, whisper, whisper. Paul then had to go back and, you know, the whole letter, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who preached another gospel to you? well, you know, we weren't doing the this and that. And you told us we don't have to get circumcised, but look, you know, they said we have to, and my flesh is crying out for recognition instead of my spirit being recognized as sons and daughters of the Most High God. The law was incomplete. No one had ever fulfilled it but Jesus. Jesus was declaring, I have come not to abolish the law, but to see that the law would be completed. Jesus kept the Ten Commandments. Jesus did all the festivals, the three times a year. He kept the Jewish Sabbath holy. He did the Passover, the unleavened feast of bread, Pentecost, tabernacles, trumpets, Day of Atonement. He did all that stuff. And he did it with perfection. And all the other 636 or 32, 34, whatever number is, he did all that too. Which we as Gentiles go, what? We didn't even know there was those. Paul got it. He said in 1 Timothy 1:15 to 16, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of whom, Paul says, I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Romans chapter 8 is a great example. Living life in the spirit or living life in the flesh. Often it's translated by people poorly. The life is the socks, your spirit flesh person. You know, your flesh craves out for recognition. Third thing we need to, bondages we can be freed from, is living to the flesh. Bondage to flesh. Galatians 5:24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. That's so hard, Mark. I know. I'm also human. Cut me and I bleed. Anger me and I get mad. No, not you. Yes, me. Couldn't be. Then who? Anyway. Dead to sin. Deal with it. Reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus. Bondage to idols. Anything. Not some things. Anything that has become great to you and is the most important thing to you can be your idol. And I'm just going to leave that one there. How are we being delivered? We get delivered by crossing over in grace. Not by our works. Not by how smart we are. Not by actually even how many times you attend church on Sunday, not how many times you actually read your Bible, how many sermons you watch on the TV, and some of the stuff you shouldn't even watch, if I'll just be honest. 13 and 14. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work out for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. Talking about bondage, how we're getting delivered into His grace, through His grace, by His grace. He is grace. And when we stand firm, can you imagine how different the world would be if Eve had got that little piece of info? Stand firm, Eve. And Wimpy next to her should have stood firm. Okay, Eve, honey, if you say so, let's just eat the fruit together. So it'll be so nice. Wimpy Adam. He said, stand firm. Do not fear. I have spoken. I will show you my glory to Pharaoh. I will bring my glory about. Because if you do that, your tormentors, or your tormentor, the Egyptians, those that are holding you in bondage, you, those whom you see today, you shall never see again. Because when we go and we see the farmer coming and we stand firm and think, this is a stupid idea, I'm stealing the pips, if you want to put it into that context, and I run away and I stand firm and not doing that and being there, I will never see that thing again. Because you know that the enemy knows that you have an Achilles heel. Do you know that he will keep coming and little a sore pressure point, he'll keep pressing the pressure point. Because the first time he pressed it, to coin a phrase, you threw your toys out the cot. You know that expression? Means you got mad. Means you gave up. This is not working. And when he pressed the pressure point again, you flipped out again the second time. And when someone said to you something, they pressed the pressure point again. And by this time, you're so into this thing, and you're not just here in bondage trying to cross over, you're back over here again, trying to start out all over again, and the enemy is just going, happy dummy. But when we stand firm, we say, I've run out of time, way long gone. When I got saved, and I used to go into church, understand I'm a boy, I'm a man, I'd be singing songs, worshipping, and in my mind's eye, I would see naked woman. I was being honest with you today. Well, no, I'm honest all the time. And someone came and said to me, because I went and said, I don't know what to do about this. Every time I'm worshipping, he said, there's a scripture in the Bible says this, therefore, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because I used to get all freaked out, I'm thinking, what the heck is that? And I know some of you think, oh, you're addicted to pornography. No, I wasn't. It was just the images. That's why I call this the devil's playground. Because he comes and puts pictures here, and he puts thoughts here, and he puts expressions here. And then we go along and famous cricketer in South Africa, when he got caught doing a whole bunch of nonsense, he sat and cried in front of the jury and said, the devil made me do it. Wuss. Devil cannot make you do anything. Because otherwise, then we're just puppets, you know. Devil puppet, God puppet. And you just put, we're little mannequins. It's just, no, we have a free will. That's what grace is. Grace teaches us to say no to sin. It's not like, okay, I'll sin and now we're under grace. Grace is God's will to continually bless us, not based on our performance, but based on Jesus' performance on our behalf. What Jesus did for us on the cross. We can never repay that. We can never say thank you enough. We cannot emulate it. We cannot fathom it. We cannot work it out. All we have to do is say, I believe, I accept it. Thank you, Jesus. And move on. How are we being delivered? We're crossing over by grace. Last one. Who is delivering us? Our mediator, Jesus Christ. He is the one who delivers us. Last week we did Jesus, our mediator. He came and he stood between heaven and earth. And he took the punishment upon the cross. He took us from the bondage, gave us the opportunity to cross over from bondage into life, from bondage into freedom, from bondage into deliverance, from bondage into salvation. And when they took him down, they broke the cross. There is nothing more than that. It's not like, well, our sins are... Because when we believe, if you stepped over into the light, condemnation... I feel so condemned all the time. Every time I sin, I feel this condemnation come upon me. If you feel that, yeah, man, I think I'm still standing in Egypt. I've tried to cross over many times. And maybe I've even crossed over. But you know, it was like the Israelites, when they were fearful, they stood and they looked across the Red Sea, if you read the word, and they looked to the other side and they saw the Egyptians coming, and they were fearful. And God said to Moses, what are you waiting for? Just stretch out your arm and you read the account. The seas were parted and they marched across on dry land. Can you imagine the jubilation when they realized they were getting out of it? They were getting out of their bondage. They were going into their promised land, into their liberty and their freedom. And this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never experienced that, I want to pray for you. If you feel like you're in bondage in some format or mannerism, Or your mind is telling you one thing and you want to do another thing. I'm going to ask you this morning to come to the front. We want to pray. The team wants to pray with you.